Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today is Ms. Catherine Shears. She is the owner of Fast Lines in Belgium and also, in her own words, an architect of transport. First and foremost, Catherine, very welcome to this interview.
Thank you both for asking me. It's an honor to be on your Project Weekly.
You are most welcome. First and foremost, I'd like to ask you, as I do with all of my, let's say, accused or interviewees, how did you end up in shipping in the first place? Why are you not an accountant or sitting in a bank?
No. Actually, I'm a licensed communication specialist. So I studied communication. And I told my father that I would never, ever go into shipping, but he started the company in 1991. Okay. He's the example of a self-made man. And then, you know, sometimes the blood goes where it has to go. So I joined the company, and then sadly, he passed away at an early age. He was only 59. And then I stepped in and took the lead of the company. So
Okay. Well, that it makes me a little bit worried, because I'm exactly 59. I mean, but certainly one can say that you've been trained very well, and you were thrown into something pretty fast, right?
Yeah. But on the other hand, I did have some experience, and I started off as the assistant of the line manager. And after 1 week sitting at together with him, he went on holiday. And then I told my father, look, I'm not into shipping. I studied something else. And that was the time that he was still typing on a typewriter. So he gave me a list of words in shipping. And then he said, swim. And maybe that's not the ideal way to start into shipping, but it's a lot about normal common sense, communication, solving problems, and I think a lot of the time thinking out of the box. And but I have to confess, I did my courses and on shipping, so I learned a lot. But the most thing you learn, I think, by doing so.
Absolutely right. You know, it's as they say, it's learning by doing is soft, and you have the, let's say, problems straight in your face is where you really show what you're made of. So you certainly have a trial by fire, I can see.
Yeah.
Just for our viewers to understand a little bit about FAST, we all know what FAST is, but FAST Lines, FAST Logistics, the FAST Group, I might say. Mm-hmm. Can you introduce a little bit about, I understand that you're also ship owners, if you start with the basics.
Yes, we'll start with the basics. So headquarters is in Antwerp. Mm-hmm. In Antwerp, we do total logistics. So we have agent, we do forwarding, and we have our fleet of vessels. Mm-hmm. In Poland, we were pioneers. In 1991, we founded one of the first modern terminals in the port of Szczecin. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, we built our first bulk terminal a couple of years ago, also in Szczecin.
Okay.
And then in Ireland and in UK, we also have offices, and in all offices we do forwarding, agencies, and chartering. And in Ireland we have a joint venture with port authorities, and we also do terminal activities over there. So I think what the big shipping companies are doing now, mm-hmm. Going into the process of shipping vertically, we did already since the start of Fast Lines, because I think transport is always as good as the weakest link. Mm. And so actually I'm wearing many hats, one of terminal owner, one of ship owner, and we think the chain. We always try to give our clients what I call sofa style service. So yes. They tell us what they want, then they sit back and relax, and we'll try to foresee all the problems, which you cannot always do. But then we, if challenges arise, we take the lead in solving them as quick as possible.
So basically, it's like the sport curling. The customer is pushing that thing there on the ice, and you are cleaning in front of them, so they won't feel any headaches, I suppose.
Yeah. That's what it's all about. And then we are a medium-sized company, and we tend to grow together with our customers. So that's why we started to build a bulk terminal, because one of our customers, Eti Products, who are big in boron, they brought chemicals in bags to our terminal in Stettin, to our break bulk terminal. And then they wanted to grow. So we start seeing if there's space to grow in part of Stettin and make the investment. And so we follow our customers.
Fantastic. And that's a really smart way of moving, because the customer also in that case will not suddenly leave you in the ditch and go away. I mean, you are growing together, as you say. Is there any particular reason why you looked at Poland back then, or was it just by chance?
At that time, it was my father who was in the lead, and he started off in shipping, in chartering vessels, and he was doing a lot of wood from Spain and Portugal to UK, but he saw that that was declining. And so he thought that there was light and business in the former Eastern European countries. So and then he saw by chartering vessels to Poland that there was a lack of good terminals. And that's where he thought, oh, I can make the difference. And at that time, nobody would want to invest in those countries. It was tricky business. And that's, I think, the good thing about medium-sized companies. We always have to be one step ahead. And think smart and give added value to our customers.
It sounds like he had the foresight to really do something when others were not interested or didn't dare. I think that really serves to his and your credit. Also, that you mentioned you have the joint venture in Ireland, you are active in the UK, so you're kind of Northwest Europe active. And I understand that you own some ships as well. How many do you own at the moment?
We have 5 ships. We recently sold one off, and we bought a new one, Fast Sim, which is in honor of my mom. All our ships are named after family members. So my father started off with 3 ships. I have a brother and a sister, Fast Anne-Catherine and Philippe. We were too old, so I sold those ships, and then we bought others, and then they're named after my 2 sons, nephew. And then I thought it was time to honor the founding father and mother. So we have a Fast Herman named after my father and a Fast Sim named after my mom, because I think never forget your roots.
I fully agree. It's I like that history. And but by the same token, I can say I got also into shipping thanks to my dad. I wanted to be a journalist, but he said no. But finally, now I can say that I am.
Actually, Bo, that's what I also wanted, to become a journalist. But now with all this social media, sometimes in Port of Antwerp, they call me Miss Social Media. And I say that's a compliment, because I wasn't born when social media were hot. But we're just trying to do. I always think it's great that we can communicate about our world, because at the moment, the biggest challenge we all have is people. We all need people in every sector. So I think we should communicate more and better about the fantastic sector we're working in.
I do agree, and very difficult to find motivated people. They all seem to be wanting to work for Google or Apple or, or something like that. So
That's because they don't know how fantastic our world is to work
in. I agree. But now with the supply chain headache and the ever given aground in Suez Canal, at least now people know what we do. I don't have to explain anymore. Shipping, what's that? You know, now they know that that we are important. But listen, to get back to Fastline, so that means you are a freight forwarder, you are also a ship owner, and you are a terminal operator. That means, let me ask one question. If I'm a project forwarder and I have some cargo to be handled in the port of Antwerp or Stettin, you would, even you are a freight forwarder yourself, you would still treat me neutrally.
Of course, of course. I can give you examples of that next week. Right. We are loading on one of our vessels, cargo to Saint Nazaire, and it's booked by a forwarder. So
okay, very good. Now, but it's many of our viewers are forwarders, and I come also from the forwarding background. Mm-hmm. I even have a liner background with Costco and others before. So yes, it's what you said about the shipping lines going ashore. It's very clear to see some of the major ship owners now. They want to be the one-stop shop. Mm-hmm. And they immediately will attack your customer. But I think it's good that you make clear here in this interview that if anyone comes to you and want to move some project cargo, mm-hmm. you will, of course, support them. You will not immediately go to their customer.
No, we don't. No, so. I think that's also one of the advantages. Like 2 weeks ago, our ship was in the port of Antwerp, and another ship with project cargo, they called our agent and they say, look, it's crazy busy in Port of Antwerp. Can we lay behind your ship? And then they took their project cargo out. It's a small world. I think we're stronger if we work together. And I think that's sometimes my conculeagues book on my ships. Sometimes I book on their ships.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think that's the truth, that we're stronger together. It's a small world, and you just try to do what you do as best as you can, and your reputation will always go before you. So I think that's important. And exactly. I think that's the essence, and that's the way my father learned me to do business.
Yeah, but I certainly can see that you are honoring his legacy 100% here. Can I just to understand a bit about, so headquartered in Antwerp, mm-hmm. you have offices in Poland, you have offices in Ireland and mm-hmm. the UK. What is your total headcount?
We're working with 160 people.
Okay.
Yeah. Pretty and cool. But in total, we are not the biggest. Try to keep all our offices lean and profitable.
Lean. Mm-hmm. As they say, lean and mean. Yeah. Yes, no, but that's really good. Yeah, your five ships, is there any particular route that they follow, would you say?
Yeah, we have two liner services. Right. We have one liner service from our terminal in Poland, in Stettin, to UK, which we are running for 30 years now. Okay. And then we started up because of Brexit in March 2020, when COVID happened. We just started up a liner service from Port of Antwerp to Ireland, because we had some customers for which we were doing trucking through the UK, mm-hmm. but we tried to cut the UK land bridge, cut custom formalities. And you know, there's a shortage of truck drivers in UK, so we started up a liner service, and in the beginning it wasn't full, but last week we filled up two boats, so it's going good. It's
really good. Which ports would you, Poland, UK, so it's Stettin to where in the UK?
Stettin to the Humber. Cool.
To the Humber. Okay, so that's let me think.
Yeah, we go from to the all weather terminal of RMS in Goul.
Okay, in Goul. Okay, great.
Yeah, and in Antwerp, we're loading at the IZ All Weather Terminal, mm-hmm. and we're going to Port of Drogheda, where Foss Terminals discharges the cargo.
Okay, all I know about Ireland is golf and whiskey. Can you remind me of Drogheda? Is that on the east coast or on the west coast?
On the west coast. It's it's 1 hour drive from Dublin by car.
Ah, okay, yeah, of course. It's like Denmark. Yeah. Anyway,
I must say it's a bit like the breakbulk port of Dublin,
right.
Drogheda.
Right. Okay.
You remember that, that's a good means to remember the port of Drogheda. And right. and it's I think it's an amazing little village. And we always go to watch the pyramids, but close to Drogheda, You can see ancient, I think Ireland is amazing and the people are so nice.
Yes, yes. No, I worked with a couple of Irish blokes when they were not in the pub, that I recall. So yeah, you're right. They're really nice people. And one of my favorite rock stars was Thin Lizzy, Phil Lynott.
Whiskey in the Jar. Eh?
Exactly. I grew up listening to him. I have to go and see that memorial one time. But that's really interesting. How would you say business is good? I mean, all ship owners are fully booked and everyone is smoking a cigar. Are you also smoking a cigar?
Yeah, I'm gaining fat for everything that goes up must come down. So we are always saying now it's time to, because we constantly are reinvesting. Eh?
Yeah.
Don't forget that on all my ships, I'm installing ballast water treatment systems, and not cheap.
No.
We earn, but we also are investing a lot, and we buy cranes for our terminals. So, I know where my money goes, but I can't deny that at the moment, these are not bad times. On the other hand, for people working in the offices, it's challenging because nothing runs fluently. For instance, ships have been discharged quicker in the past, but it is what it is. And
I guess we have to go with the flow. It seems at least I spoke to a number of ship owners at Breakbulk in Rotterdam, and a lot of them, first of all, the parties were great because everyone was happy. Mm-hmm. Not least to be away from Corona, but everyone seems to be fully booked at least until end of this year.
Yeah.
Not least due to renewable industry, and also all container carriers are totally chock-a-block fully booked. So
yesterday I was sitting together because Professor Van Hooijdonk will be writing a study, and he was brainstorming with some people, and one of them was a terminal manager, and he says, I'm 115% full. And that's the case with most terminals, I think, everywhere around Europe.
You're right in what you're saying. For the staff, every day is a headache now. It's like shipping used to be pleasant, but at the moment, at least, it's like we are drowning in positive problems.
Yeah, so. And that's how I always see shipping. It's never in balance. It's always too much or not enough. It's always it's always challenging. So but then again, you can do your best, and much more you can do it.
It's
but I think by communicating you can make a difference. Even when terminals are full, if you know the people you work with, they cannot do the impossible. No. But they can do a lot, and together we can achieve a lot. And sometimes we have to have a little bit of patience. That's hard for me.
Then we're both in the same boat. Well, I can say it sounds a bit like my ex-wife. You said never too much and never too little. It's not easy to make everyone happy.
No. And probably she will be noticing it now with COVID. You were at home a lot of the time, and now probably you're never home. So. But we shouldn't complain, because I think apart from the terrible thing like the war, that's horrible. But for the rest, in transport, at least we're on the map of the international community. I did a TED talk where I make a plea for seafarers, because I think it's very good that also seafarers become a bit visible. Yeah. Because during COVID, many of the seafarers have been on their boats for like ages. Some of them still are. So
I fully agree. I've supported the mission to seafarers for many years. I remember one time I even donated some SIM cards to the seafarers mission in Hong Kong, so they could deliver SIM cards to the ships anchored outside who never got ashore.
Yeah.
Let's hope that the ship owners, the ones who really have the funds to do it, make sure that their staff or seafarers get internet and are able to call home. I mean, these things are very important. There are a lot of lonely days out there.
Yeah, even during the pandemic, we sometimes did ballast trips to Stettin to get a crew. changed because, but no, it's not that easy for every ship owner, no, because some crews, there were simply no flights. But I think that makes a difference in your business as well. The way you treat your people.
Your ships, what flag are they?
They're flying Belgian flag.
Belgian flag, okay, right. And your crew are Belgian?
Our crew are all Polish at the moment. Because our ship manager is also doing the crewing out of Fast Terminals in Poland.
Okay, but that makes
actually
sense.
Actually, Fast Baltic.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, yes. No, but they know seafaring and have shipowner shipping tradition in Poland. So that's good.
And for us it's easy because they often go to the terminal. We can do crew changes there, and they're good people. Even that is challenging to find nowadays, because 14.5% of all seafaring people are either Ukraine or Russian, and there's a big. A big stress on all seafarers at the moment. They're in high demand. Good for them.
Yeah, good for them. Let's all hope the salaries get higher up. They deserve it. One of the final questions I have for you is, of course, you're sitting in Belgium, and your company is still totally family owned.
My shareholders are my sister and my brother, and my brother is leading a factory where we produce nails, and I'm shareholder in this company, and my sister, she has her own lawyer office, but we're still family owned.
I can just imagine the board meetings there. That would be a fly on the wall there.
Actually it's interesting, that's the big difference. My father did it all alone, and but I think it's added value that you look at things from different perspectives and that you keep each other sharp.
Definitely. Yeah. No. Nobody knows everything, and we all need to learn from others. That's for sure.
Yeah. And the good thing is we're raised as entrepreneurs, so we don't want the biggest cars or the biggest apartments. We rather invest in a ship a collating machine. So
yes. Yes. Yeah. It's I can see you're happy in your work, and that is half the battle, as they say. So, but listen, Catherine, I want to say really many thanks to you. It's been very interesting to hear your story. I mean, Fast Logistics, you're a ship owner, you're a shipping agent, you're a forwarder, you're a terminal operator. You have the whole package, and it's in a small, neat package that is not too big. That means you are not arrogant. You are approachable, it seems to me, and I can only say it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I wish to thank you.
Thanks for your time. And if you do have some spare time, do watch my TED Talk. Make the invisible visible.
Yes. Definitely. I will find you there. Hey, one thing before I let you off the hook. Could you sometimes take a passenger on board your ships?
We take trainees from the Antwerp Shipping School, Antwerp Maritime Academy, and we can only do that on two of our ships, because all the other ships, we have six people on board the ships, and there's no extra space. But on the Fast Sim and the Fast Herman, we can take one extra girl or guy.
I'm only saying this because since 2005, my dad's a sea captain, retired, as you know, and I've been taking CMA, CGM, or Rickmas Line, or things like that around the world. So, but if there ever would be a chance, I would be delighted to try going down to Poland and then take one of your ships onto to Benelux, if that's ever was possible.
Yeah, I did it. I did it myself because we were discharging at the Thames River, and it was the first time we are shipping Wienerberger bricks for years, but sometimes we go to new ports, and although we are not discharging, that's somebody else that does it, it's Wienerberger themselves. I just went to watch to see if it goes fluently, because as I say, if there's it doesn't work, it's not long lasting business. So my husband said fly over there, and I said no, I will step on board at the Zeekanaal in Belgium, take the passage. Little did I know that it was going to be 8:00. No, the captain warned me, and I said, yeah, if it's rough weather for you, it's rough weather for me. But it was special.
Wow, yeah, that's great. Nana, you certainly have done everything, so you have something to relate to. But listen, once again, Catherine, many, many thanks for joining this interview.
Thank you, Bo, for asking. Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. And to all our listeners, viewers, and readers from around the world, this was yet another great interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today has been Ms. Catherine Scheers, the owner of Fast Lines in Belgium, and certainly a person that you should keep in touch with. So once again, stay tuned for more interviews in the near future. Thank you.